Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
She was our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety
today,
talk show,
and giving
whose
all the power to the
power you.
That we're only gonna bring this to me. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in. I entitled today's show Against All Odds because too often we have something placed on our spirits or on our hearts to accomplish, and we assume that because it's a challenge that is unattainable, and we don't push beyond the challenges. This is exactly why I invited Ann Mock here with us to join us today. Against all odds, she didn't quit, and she pushed to achieve the goals that she had on becoming a special education teacher. This is Ann Mock's second time on the show. The first time was, if you've been following the show, I had a panel of special education back in August, and she was one of the four panelists. Let me tell you a little bit about Ann Mock. She earned two bachelor's degrees, one in human development and the other in special education, and her master's degree in education. And I invited her back to the show to talk one-on-one with her because she went from being a special education student with a learning disability to now a teacher and a tutor. And I was really inspired by her story. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you, Yvonne, for having me on your wonderful show.
Thank you for joining us. For those who missed the our panel discussion and where we were talking about special education, I want to kind of let them reintroduce them to you, or if it's their first time meeting you today, then I want to introduce, you know, your story to the listeners. You are in special education, and you had a learning disability, correct?
That is correct.
And during that time, during the time when you grew up, they didn't really diagnose specific special needs like they do now. So you were just diagnosed as learning disabled.
That is
correct?
Right.
Okay. When you were little, and you mentioned it on the panel, when we had the panel discussion, but when you were little, there was a comment that a teacher made. Was it to your mom?
It was, the comment was made to my mom. It was by my second grade teacher. He told my mom that I was worthless, I would never amount to anything in life, and that I would be a burden to society, and so it would be better if she just locked me up someplace.
And sadly, that was common back then.
Yes.
And a lot of kids that were born with various disabilities, the common thing to do was to institutionalize them. So that was one of the things that the teacher said was to that you wouldn't be a contribution to society, which sadly a lot of parents still hear those comments. I know I personally, the doctor said something similar, not exactly, but something similar to us when he diagnosed my youngest son with Down syndrome, that you know, that he wouldn't be a contribution to society, which is unfortunate for anybody to say that about another human being. But this motivated you to become a special education teacher.
It did, because, you know, I knew I could do the work. I knew I wasn't what they would call retarded or back in those days. And, you know, I knew I could do it, and I knew I could overcome my challenges, you know, if I just put my mind and my heart and set my goal to working extra hard and things, then I knew I could achieve any dream I had in this world.
What were some of the, and I'm glad you did, what were some of the challenges that you faced growing up?
Some of the challenges, you know, I faced growing up, you know, was, you know, difficulty with reading. So my handwriting wasn't good. And, you know, just overcoming, you know, comments, you know, that my teacher made or other students that would make, you know, they would tease me. Like if we were reading out loud and I made a mistake, you know, they would tease me, oh, you know, Anne's so stupid, she didn't know the word red and she called it purple instead. And that just kind of all built in, and I didn't have a good self-esteem of myself, but I knew I could do it. And I had my grandparents and my great-grandparents who were very supportive, and they would sit down and they would work with me, you know, after school, because they believed in me and they knew that I could achieve, you know, whatever it was I wanted to do with my life. And they always had that belief that you can do it. We believe in you.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is vital for kids to have in their life, somebody that's going to, you know, push them and tell them that, you know, help them build that self-esteem and that that confidence that, you know, whatever you set your heart and your mind to, you can achieve it. And as you just said, your biggest influence was your grandparents. What type of, during that time, too, they didn't have, and I keep saying during that time, was it, this was the 80s?
Yeah, this was the late 70s, early 80s. And, I mean, special ed was probably just in its infancy, and they really did not know much about, you know, learning disabilities or a lot of other disabilities at that time, because it was still so new. So, and even though special ed has been around for over 30 years, it's still very new in things, because we are finding out more and more and more, like with autism, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the stereotype. I mean, you know, there's a huge umbrella that falls under that autism spectrum and things. While, like,
yeah,
with learning disabilities, there's many different aspects of that.
Yeah. So during this time, well, late 70s, early 80s, they didn't have, like, the therapy and a lot of the therapy and the resources that they have in place today for special needs. So what type of what type of things did they have or did you receive to kind of prepare you to become a special education teacher?
Okay. In elementary school, I had a wonderful third and fourth grade teacher. It was the same person. And this teacher would bend over her backwards just to make sure that, you know, I really understood what she was trying to teach us. And then once a week there would be what they called the boogie lady, which she really wasn't a boogie lady, but she would go in and she would, like, work with me on my reading just to help me, you know, learn that when I'm reading, you know, not to reverse my letters and stuff. Then when I got into junior high, they had, like, a room that I would go to one period a day that the teacher was supposed to help me with any of my work that I didn't get. And then when I got into high school, I was kind of in resource. Then they kind of had resource that I would get my math and my English from.
So after you graduated from high school, what challenges did you face from transitioning into college, and how did you overcome those challenges?
One of the challenges that I faced going from high school to college was, you know, I didn't have, you know, my network. You know, I couldn't run to my resource teacher, and the university was big at that time, and I got lost, and I tried to go into the resource center for students with disabilities, and they kind of like, oh yeah, you have a disability, it's not, you know, it's a learning, we don't really deal with that. But in the Department of Special Ed, there was a professor who kind of saw several of us who were having this hard time struggling, trying to find our way around campus life. And we all had a learning disability, so she kind of like formed a little group with us that we would meet with her once a week on an individual basis, and then we would have a meeting with everyone just to talk about the struggles we're going through, what we could do to help each other. You know, it was kind of like a safety net, support group, and that was really nice to have, you know, have that.
Yeah. Do you think that that some of that, the resources that's available in college now, do you think that maybe it's changed a little bit to help those with challenges?
I think the resources that are out there for students today are better than they were when I went, and I think you know, they really do help, you know, students really achieve their dreams. I know there is a woman named Joan Arvark who has dedicated her life into helping students with learning disabilities really make that transition from high school college a lot smoother. You know, I wish I had a lot of her work, you know, when I was going through that transition, because I think it would have probably made the transition a lot more smoother for me. But I think, you know, universities are aware that there are people that have, you know, disabilities, whatever they are. And I think they are trying to be very accommodating to them because it helps them as a university learn about the different types of disabilities. And it makes them, you know, more tolerant to saying, okay, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to change. You know, we as a university, you know, we need to embrace each individual with their uniqueness and help them achieve their dreams, their goals in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that there's not just with school but in society as a whole, do you think that there is have been a lot of changes and a lot of progress that's been made based on your experience?
I think there has been a lot of changes made in both positive and negative for people with disabilities. But society still really isn't a lot very accepting. But I think we are trying to melt those stereotypes down and become a more gentle, caring nation.
Yeah.
And we can only do it like one step at a time. Because, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, if you have a disability or not. We are, each one of us is different, each one of us is unique, and we can learn from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. what are the misconceptions based on your experience? Again, what are some of the misconceptions you think people have towards individuals with special needs?
Some of the misconceptions is that, oh my gosh, you have this disease and I could catch it from you and I don't want that. They see, you know, a disability as being an illness. And they, you know, or they are not willing to extend a hand to learn more about you and your disability.
Yeah. Yeah. As a parent, myself, and not just as a parent, I also, and I've mentioned it on previous shows, that one of my challenges was reading. And when I graduated from high school and transitioned into college, I had to work 10 times as hard to you know, in the beginning, I had to work 10 times as hard just to get a C because I kind of, I didn't really get the reading as strongly as my peers or as quickly as my peers. And I also went through being, you know, or I don't know if it was psychological or not, but I felt like, you know, when I read or being laughed at or, you know, or whatever. So my way of dealing with it was in a negative way. I started skipping school and, you know, I went in a different direction, not realizing that I just have to work harder and to push through that. I know that now, but I'm really, really, really inspired by your story, and I'm really inspired by the disabled community as a whole because you do have challenges that and you push through them, and you find the motivation to accomplish things against the odds. And I commend you for that, and I admire that. I absolutely admire that. But I wanted to ask, aside from being a teacher, from my understanding, and we've talked about it before, but from my understanding, you also are pursuing a writing career, correct?
That is correct. I would like to write a book, you know, just to inspire people, you know, not real, you know, children, that they can achieve their dreams, their goals in life. If they set their mind and their heart, you know, they can overcome, you know, any obstacle in their way. You know, they may have to work harder at achieving them, but one little baby step at a time, you know, will lead you down the right path to achieving, you know, whatever you set your heart out to achieve in your life.
Yeah. And you're, you've sent me a couple of writing pieces, and I think you're a really good writer. So I commend you on pursuing that dream as well.
Well, thank you.
Speak to the parents for me for a moment. What message would you like to give parents who have a child with special needs?
You know, as a parent, don't just see your child with their disability. Take that out of the picture and see your child being an able person that they can achieve whatever it is in their life, you know, to make them a happy, productive citizen. And also be aware, parents, recently in the news we've heard about bullying, keep those lines of communication open. It seems that, and even with the kids I've worked with and tutored, a lot of them are bullied because of their disability. And it's not fair to them to have to undertake that hump that another person is putting on them. And we need to teach society that, hey, it's okay to be different. We need to be tolerant of each other.
Yeah. And, thank you for saying that. I think that, a lot of people push and always saying about being normal and what's normal. And to me, everybody, not just to me, but period, everybody is different and everybody has a uniqueness about them and everybody has challenges. And, as a parent and an individual, I really want to encourage, the parents and the listeners, to push beyond what you can see and the trust, regardless of what your religious beliefs are, but if you believe that if there's something greater, trust that and trust that God has, what God has for me is for me. And to kind of, like with Zion, and I like that you brought that up, that to, encourage your child and to, there's a lot that they deal with outside of the home, but inside of the home, that's where they are molded and shaped into having the confidence and the will that they need to build their self-esteem and to pursue their dreams.
That is so correct.
If you had the...
Go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you had the power and to change anything in the world to make it better for special needs, what would it be?
I would. If I had the power to change anything, I would change that as a society, we would become more tolerant, loving, and accepting of everyone with everyone's own uniqueness and the ability to learn from each other and live in harmony.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
And you are an amazing woman, and you inspire me. You truly do. I wish you nothing but the best on your journey. Please do keep in contact with me. And Mark, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story.
Well, thank you, Yvonne, for having me on your wonderful show.
Have a wonderful day.
I will, and you do the same.
Thank you.
Okay. I was meant to fly. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.